This is Twit.
Be interesting to see what Google does. As you know, there is a bill in front of the Australian legislature to force Google to pay digital platforms, to pay news media for including their articles or even snippets of their articles in its search. In response, on Friday, Google's Australian managing director, Mel Silva, testified in front of a Senate committee that this proposed code was not only untenable, but she said, if it goes through, it would give us no real choice but to stop making Google search available in Australia. That's the nuclear.
So angry. Nice,
that's the nuclear option.
Nice search engine you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. You know, it's really funny because you kind of mentioned it. At the same time, I think the same day in France, we've had a law that was forcing Google to give money to the press, essentially.
That's right.
Publications, online publications for the news service that they have for Google News.
Yeah.
And of course, Google has been saying, listen, we can't pay you for sending traffic to you. And on the same day or the next day after the Australian thing, Google announced that they had come to an agreement to send money to the French press. And that was a little bit of a surprise because they had always, of course, stated that they couldn't do that and that they wouldn't. And we've had, you know, spats in Spain and Germany where Google actually shut off the Google News service. Of course, they didn't shut off the entire search engine. But the thing that's really interesting and that I'm not sure many people have looked deep enough into to understand is that we don't know to what extent this is the case, but they have included in that flow of money to the publications, they have included traffic. We don't know how it's calculated exactly, but traffic is considered has a dollar or euro amount. So it's kind of going back. There might be more actual cash in that deal that they're going to funnel through to the publications, but traffic is also taken into account, which is interesting because, of course, the big argument has been we shouldn't be paying you. We're sending you traffic and you're making money on that. But they do have a deal, apparently, with the biggest major publications in the country now.
They didn't say how much they were going to pay. It's a precedent, and I'm not sure it's a good precedent from Google's point of view.
I mean, Australia seems to be asking for an awful lot more, I think, than what we've seen countries asking for in the past. I mean, I read one story that suggested that something like 10% of the local, like the regional revenue. So, the money that Google's making in Australia essentially should be passed directly to news organizations,
right,
which is, about $300 million or something. That's huge. And I think that's probably the main reason why Google wants to make such a big stink about this, because, there is potential for other governments, other regulating bodies to look at this and think, well, Google caved,
right,
or Google didn't, and we've not seen it at this scale before.
There's also, from Google's point of view, there's a principle, which is that the Australians say, not only are we not going to look at the traffic that Google drives to the publishers, you're not even allowed to include that in the calculus for how much you're going to pay. And I think that probably pissed off Google in a way that maybe it didn't in France, where they clearly are using considering traffic as being part of the equation.
Yeah, conversation didn't start at that point.
No, but they got him to give in.
Adversarial. Yeah. There was threatening,
I think the threat is the biggest problem here, isn't it? I mean, this is a very bold ultimatum, and I think personally, I feel it could backfire, and I think it will be frowned upon.
What if it could be even worse than that? What if they did pull search out and nobody cared, and people discovered? Some people have suggested this. That's a dumb move for Google because people will discover, DuckDuckGo is not so bad, or or Start Page is not so bad, or Ecosia is not so bad. And maybe this could start undermining Google's monopoly in the rest of the world. It could backfire.
I'm pretty sure they looked at the amount of traffic they sent. They are sending to those publications that are, fueling that lawmaking, and I'm guessing that they know the publications can't afford.
Yeah,
have
that's what happened in Spain, right?
Where are they going to be read? Like, it's where are they going to be read? People look at the news on their Facebook feed, or they Google it, right? I mean, like, you might surface some of this. You might see sort of a weird dynamic where the rules of Bing are suddenly really important, and everyone is, optimized for Google.
Optimized
right?
And Bing.
You have to optimize for Bing suddenly, and maybe that's what happens. But I think that the, intervening period, between Google pulling out and that adjustment would be, detrimental for the Sydney Herald. Like, I'm sort of curious how the publications really feel about this and the people who work there.
Well, that's why it's the nuclear option. That's why, that really is quite a threat. For Google saying, well, we could always just cut off search.
It's also like, hey, it's a small country. There's not that many people in Australia. There's in all of Australia, there's half the amount of people there in California.
Right. Do you think Google made that calculus? Said, we gotta show. I think they did that in Spain anyway. We gotta show them what it's like not to have Google.
And I don't think you'd see this threat in the U.S.
No,
is what I can say. Yeah, no. You wouldn't see this threat in a very large country. I don't think.
Yeah.
But this is becoming increasingly common. You've seen a number of different platforms basically say, we're just going to leave. And that seems to be an increasingly common tactic. And sometimes they take it.
Seems very childish. Seems babyish. It's like, just, figure it out. Work it out.
But this it reminds me of what Epic has been doing.
Yeah,
with
babyish.
Apple.
Yeah.
And that I don't feel that that's playing out particularly well for them because...
No.
Well, I mean,
it's embarrassing.
All the lost court hearings. So it's not a great way of doing it. But we, on a smaller level, we've seen it done on with smaller retailers, even in Europe, as a response to Brexit. Like, there are some companies now on continental Europe who won't ship to the UK because it's dealing with tax and customs forms and complaints. It's not worth their effort. They're just saying we'll send to anywhere in the world except Britain.
Do you remember when GDPR first happened and there were a bunch of U.S. news sites that you just couldn't view in Europe at all? They just wouldn't load. Reminds me of that, too.
Trump, all the Trump publications, right? They were, you couldn't read those.
Some local newspapers that just had old websites that were really buggy and full of tracking, too.
It was quite a few. The Chicago Tribune, the Daily News, the Dallas Morning News, Newsday. Can you see them now? Did they give up?
Good question. Let's find out.
I think so. I've never come across one that I couldn't load. But, all of these things, it's kind of part of what I was talking about earlier. We're figuring out a lot of things that aren't going to work out on the first try, but ultimately might end up coming to a consensus that I don't want to say benefits everyone, but mostly works. And certainly GDPR, when it first came out, was, I think, finger pointed at and laughed at by a lot of people who were saying, oh, but you do, you can't work it out and you have so many boxes you have to click. And yes, it's the case, but you're seeing other countries and locations that are starting to think, okay, maybe we do need something. Maybe we don't go as far, but we do need something. And the thing with the newspapers, they ended up finding an agreement and in France, at least, and maybe they're not going to get as much money as they would have wanted because traffic is included into that calculation. But as a newspaper, if you have one additional source of revenue that is helping you out a little bit and diversifying your income, I think that's good for everyone in society because you have newspapers that can function a little bit better. So it's messy, but we're slowly over the next 10 or 20 years going to figure things out, I think. And GDPR is not mocked as much as it was a couple of years ago, I think.
Well, what's interesting is the fines are going to go up this year. They're going to get very serious about big-time fines. Now see what happens.
And, I can't access Newsday.
You can't?
So that's,
no, I'm getting exactly the same.
You're not missing a thing. I just want to say, Nate.
Well, I mean, I know it's quite a regional tabloid, isn't it? It's
New York. Yeah. How about
yeah?
How about AJC.com? That's the Atlanta News.
AJC.
AJC.com. Didgeridoo in our chat room, who I'm thinking is probably in Australia.
It's not available. Yeah. I mean, we have VPNs. If you really want to read them, you can.
Yeah. You could pretend you're in the U.S.
It's probably the expats that are going to be most affected by this,
right? That's who wants to read them, yeah.
I can still see them both, and I'm in California. And
well, of course you can.
Well, right,
oh, because of the California Privacy Act. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I came here from New York, actually, I did notice like more requests for my data, more requests for my cookies than I had in New York City for sure.
Really?
But I guess it doesn't rise to the level of GDPR because I can open both of these websites.